Good morning, Valley Church. It is great to have you here on this Mother's Day weekend. And we want to make sure, before we go any further, to cheer for our moms. So if you are a mom today, if you're a grandmother, if you're an adoptive mother, if you're a foster mom, if you play the role of mom in somebody's life, I want you on your feet right now and stay standing. And we're going to cheer wildly for our moms. Come on, give it up. Come on now. We love you, moms. We appreciate you. You're amazing. You do so many good things. We really appreciate it. Come on, people. Let's give it up. Let's hear for a mom. Let's hear. Yeah, that's it. Keep it going. Keep it going. All right. Woo. Yeah, moms. We appreciate you guys. We do. We do. And you know, we're celebrating that in our household. And actually, this weekend, Mother's Day weekend, 36 years ago, I married my lovely bride, Ruth. Here's us from a few years back. Yeah, there we are. Ruth hasn't changed a whole lot, but I'm different, a little different here. Let's see today's picture. Yeah, there we go. We're doing great. And we also, wow, and did I mention we became grandparents a few months ago? Yeah, I thought I might have mentioned that. You know, and it's just been crazy. You know, as I look back on that 36 years, we had no idea what we were doing when we got married. I mean, we were babies. You know, we had graduated from college the day before. Yes, the day before, and then we got married and moved to Chicago, and we were on our adventure, and all these years, and along the way, God blessed us with three great children, and Ruth's been a great mom to them, and then along the way, God brought two young men into our daughter's lives, and they're part of our family now, and our son Isaac, and you know, it's just been great, and then our grandson. I mean, I got to tell you something here today on this Mother's Day weekend. I am a rich man. I'm a wealthy man. You know, in the scriptures, it's interesting. People aren't considered rich people because of their salaries, their net worth, their possessions, their perks, the square footage of their homes, or the quantities in their 401ks. In fact, in scripture, riches is not so much about the quantities you have, but the qualities you have. So today on Mother's Day, I want to talk about four qualities of people who are truly rich. Today we begin a new series called Be Rich, Love, Give, Serve. And we're going to look at how to become a truly rich person in the way that Scripture counts that. And so I'm going to give you four qualities today. We're going to start with this first one, which is this. Truly rich people are big-hearted. They're big-hearted people, and they let it go. They let it go. Jesus said it this way in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. We're just going to look at two passages today, Luke's Gospel and then a passage in Proverbs. Jesus in Luke chapter 6 says this, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Now, just 2 weeks ago, we had a series I mentioned. It was a series called Dumb Things Smart People Believe. And one of the things we learned was, one dumb thing that people believe is that Christians are never supposed to judge. Well, we said, you know, that doesn't mean that you don't tell right from wrong or good from evil. We dispense with that myth. At the same time, we still believe what Jesus said here, do not judge. Do not condemn. What does he mean by that? Don't become that critical, fault-finding, nagging person that just spots everybody's faults and points them out to them. Instead, we are big-hearted. We let it go, right? You with me? And we forgive people. Now, guys, I need to tell you about this. I had a new experience this week. Yesterday, I performed a wedding downtown. And some of the guests from out of town were remarking how incredibly friendly Des Moines, Iowa is. They said, we get on the elevator, people say, hi. And they said, we just aren't used to that kind of, you know, friendliness. And I said, that's why I love Des Moines. But I had an experience earlier this week that was slightly different. All right, here's what happened. How many of you have noticed the Hickman Road is like getting backed up every morning? You know, I live in that or off of Hickman Road, and so it's like crazy, and there's a big long line because they're doing construction and all this stuff. All right. So anyway, I'm waiting at a stop sign, waiting to get on Hickman Road, and there's like a mile backed up, and I'm just waiting for someone to let me in, right? Some nice, kind, big-hearted soul to let me in. I look at this one guy, and guess what he does? He gives me the finger. He flips the bird on me. And it's like, now that's not the first time that's happened, but this was unique. And I'm not going to reenact it exactly, but this was unique because he timed it with my turn signal. So he goes like this. And I thought, how rude is that? I mean, I'm just sitting there at a stop sign. I didn't do anything. How uncivil can we get? We need more big-hearted people here, right? Can we hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, it is. You know what? Some things I learned early on in life, some things are just very unforgiving. When I was a young boy in elementary school, I was in the spelling bee. And I was pretty good at spelling. I was pretty bad at some other things, but I was pretty good at spelling. And so I got in the spelling bee. The whole school's there, and we're spelling. And it's down to Angela Chanley, Mary Dreyer, and me. And who's going to win? And they give me the next word. Kangaroo. I still remember it. Kangaroo. That's easy. I spelled it. K-N. Oh, I put the K sound together and I've left out the A. It's like, I'm toast. You're out. One little mistake and there's no forgiveness. You're done. There's people like that that we know. One little thing and they call you out on it. One little mistake and they're like all over you. That's what Jesus is talking about. Be big-hearted. Don't judge people. Don't condemn people. Nothing is so encouraging, so inspiring, so refueling, so building of community and then an atmosphere of grace. And nothing will poison a friendship, a family, a church, or a community of people more than a critical fighting mindset. It's toxic. It's dangerous. I was talking to somebody a while back, and they were talking about their church background. And they said, in my church background, the main message that I heard was this. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. Which, in a sense, is actually true. We're not good enough. We fall short. We're sinners. It's true. But God loves us so much that he sent his one and only son to die for us because we're never going to be good enough. But he loves us and he shows us not condemnation, but forgiveness and mercy and grace. And if you today come to faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what you've done, he will give you that grace and mercy through his cross. You trust in him and he'll forgive you. And here's what happens, guys. He then calls upon us to give that to others, to return that grace to others, to bless others by not condemning, by not judging, and by forgiving people. And you will be forgiven. What does this mean? Not that we earn forgiveness by forgiving people, but what happens is when you forgive people, you recognize something. You know what? I got my own faults. I got my own flaws. And then your heart is soft and you're able to receive the mercy and forgiveness of God when he extends it to you. This tendency to spot other people's faults is so common in our world. It's easy for us to just call out people and their faults. It's like, you know, I've been in drive-through lines before, and the guy in front of me, it's like taking forever to fill his order, right? And they're like, what's going on? And it's like, and I'm sitting there, what's taking so long, right? Anybody been there? Yeah, what's taking so long? Why is this taking? And I'm all upset, and, you know, and it's like, what? Well, you know, why am I getting upset about this? Except when the roles are reversed and I'm at the drive-through and it's taking forever, I want everybody to show grace and mercy and kindness to me, right? You see, grace never seems fair until you need it yourself. And then suddenly, you appreciate it. Are you going to be a big-hearted people? Can you let it go? Let it go, right? That's what we're talking about. Tim Tebow said, somebody said of Tim Tebow, he's such a nice guy. He's everything you would expect him to be, but he's 10 times better. I mean, I see that guy every time I see him. He's just a magnanimous guy. Big-hearted. He gets criticized. He never lets it get to him. Magnanimous means to be generous in forgiving an insult or injury, free from petty resentfulness or vindictiveness. Take the high road, folks. It's a very rare quality. Let love abound. And you'll be a rich person. I'm calling this message, live big, die rich. Be a big-hearted person, and you'll die a rich person. You know, when Ruth and I, 36 years ago this weekend, got married, I asked Ruth, what do you want in our marriage? I didn't ask her at the altar, but you know, before then, I asked her, what do you want in a marriage? I will never forget the answer she gave to me. She goes, Quentin, what I want is Proverbs 15:17. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. He says, I really don't care if we drive a big fancy car, if we live in a big house, it doesn't matter to me. I just want love in our home. And I'm telling you guys, 36 years later, there's a lot of love in our home. Ruth has put up with me for 36 years. There has to be a lot of love. But we love each other, and we love our kids and our son-in-laws and our new grandson, and there's love there. And that makes me a rich person. Doesn't matter how much quantities I have, the qualities that I experience in this home, it's so good. A Mother's Day can be a hard day for some people. My own mom went to be with the Lord 7 years ago. Some of you have lost your mom more recently. Maybe you want to be a mother, but you can't be for some reason. Some of you mothers have a child who has passed away. Some of you mothers feel the pain of a prodigal child today. Some of you are flying solo as you work hard to nurture your child's faith. But this I know, no matter what, on this Mother's Day, you can be a rich person. When you are big-hearted yourself, you become a wealthy person. Live big and die rich. When you forgive, your own heart is made wealthy. That's living big and dying rich. Second quality. Be open-handed. Give free refills. Be open-handed, give free refills, all right? Jesus said it in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. So the picture is they would wear this on the front of their clothing, like a flap that would hold grain. And they poured it in there, and he says, you be a giving person, a generous person, and a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. When you're a generous, big-hearted person, it comes back to you. God blesses you in some way. This is what we're talking about here. Now, some people limit this to finances. Definitely includes that, but it's much, much more. Jesus encourages us to live as open-handed, grace-filled, generous, giving people to other people, right? So there's two ways you can live your life, right? You can live open-handed, where you give yourself away for the sake of others, or you can live like this, closed-fisted. It's mine, it's about me, it's what I need, it's what I want, it's all about me. And Jesus says, live open-handed. As followers of Jesus, we are open-handed. We have big hearts. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Christians, actually, our job is to give our lives away for the sake of other people. That's what we do. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. He gave his life for the sake of all of us. And so we, having received that, turn it around and give our lives away for the sake of other people. And he says, when we do that, then our hearts are filled up. We get filled up. It's amazing. Are you close-fisted or are you open-handed like Jesus? That's what friends do for us. Your friends don't love you because you're perfect. Your friends love you in spite of your imperfections, because they're open-handed towards you. Let's be a church. Let's be a people that are open-handed, and we give our lives away for the sake of others. You know, a while back, I went to a fast food restaurant, and I got a pop, and I drank it all, and so I went up to the counter, and I said, hey, can I get a refill? And they said, sure, that'll be 25 cents. I said, what? What gives with that? Charging 25 cents for refill. How many of you want a free refill? Yeah, we want a free refill. I'm not going to go there if they're going to charge me 25 cents for a refill because I can drink a lot of pop, right? And it costs them like 5 cents, right? I mean, you know what? What gives of that? You don't want to go to a place that doesn't give free refills. Let me ask you a question. Are you a free refill person? Or are you charging people for your niceness and kindness? Do they have to earn your approval and acceptance? And here's the amazing thing. God promises that when we become free refill people, he personally pours on the blessing onto our lives. Remember what Jesus said, a good measure poured out, shaken down, overflowing, will be poured into your lap. This is not karma. Karma is an impersonal force. Christians don't believe in that impersonal force. We think it's a personal thing. God actually sees our lives, and he wants to encourage us in our generosity and kindness toward people. So he responds when we do that in some way, shape, or form. Lots of times it's not money, but in some way, shape, or form, he blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. And when we bless others, he returns that. Get this simple life-changing concept down. Living big and dying rich doesn't start with money, but with a heart. It's a mindset, it's a demeanor, it's the attitude toward others that is giving and forgiving and big-hearted. Again, that Tim Tebow guy, he said this, true success is not measured in physical possessions, but in the amount of lives that you change. So true. That's why we do Love You Des Moines Days. Because we are a group of people, the church, who love to give our lives away for other people. We want to bless our community. So I encourage you today, take out that insert. Sign up for something. Be involved. We need thousands of people to step forward and say, it's 4 weeks away, guys. Step forward and say, we want to bless our community. Have a volunteer for one of the activities. Think of one yourself. Or just, you can also do a mini block party in your front yard of your home. Just give away popsicles one day. You don't have to make this complicated. We'll coach you how to do it. But sign up for both those things. It would be fantastic. That's what we mean when we say Love You Des Moines. We just want to love our neighbors. That's what Jesus says, the second most important thing we do next to loving God. Your life is like a basket. Do you want an empty basket or do you want an overflowing basket? When you come to the end of your days, don't you want to be able to say that you lived big? That you weren't small and petty and selfish, but that you lived big. You open-handed. You gave your life away. And you'll die rich that way. You'll be a very rich person in every way. Spiritually, emotionally, relationship-wise, you'll be a wealthy person. Third principle that truly rich people our trait they have is they're big picture people. They embrace God's math. They embrace God's math. Proverbs says it this way. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Right? Wait a minute. That's backwards. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly and comes to poverty. Well, that doesn't make sense. That seems like it should be the opposite. When you give, you have less, right? No, he says when you give from your heart, you have more, you gain more. And when you are holding back, you actually have less. You come to poverty, your life becomes poor. It's the paradox of generosity. It's embracing God's math. It's the opposite of our math. We think we hold on, we'll have it. He says you release and you'll have more. So much of our discontentment in this world is the result of pursuing things in this world that can never give us contentment, and yet we fall for it over and over again. We think if I pursue that, then that'll make me happy. If I own that, then that'll make me happy. Okay, I'll give you an example. When our kids were little, we went to this restaurant we took them to, and it's run by a very large rodent, okay? Very large, and they have some of the worst pizza on earth, all right? And we keep going back there, all right? And so so they have these games that they play, and there's games you can bean bag toss and all these different games. And anyway, and when you get the games, you participate. What do they do? They give you tickets. These tickets come out of the machine, and they're like, they give you lots of tickets, lots and loads of tickets. You play skee ball. Anyway, and you get all these tickets. There's like thousands of them. And you spend money, and you just spend more money on more games. And then you finally get to the end of the day, and you're ready to leave, and you carry up this whole thing full of tickets, and you dump it on the counter, and there's like 20,000 tickets there. And you're like, what can I get with this? And they say, here, you can have this rubber ball. That's what I get for 20. I spent $35 to get a rubber ball that costs a nickel, right? And we fall for it over and over again. We still keep going back to rodent place, right? But that's the way the world works. It fakes you into thinking that this is going to deliver to you. What delivers to you true personal riches, where you're living contented, is being a generous person. If you're ever going to experience lasting joy and contentment, our hearts have to realign to this. They're going to have to be rewired to understand the big picture, to embrace God's math. It doesn't make sense. Some of you guys know, we have a daughter, Angela, our oldest daughter. She's married to Daniel. And did I mention they have a new child? Anyway, they also are, some of you guys know this, they're the legal guardians of 10 African students, all right? Here's a picture of most of them. There they are, all right? And these kids are great. We love them so much. And how did this all happen? It's a long story, but to keep it short, you know, they just got a heart for people who are in poverty. In Mali, Africa, the UN lists it as the fourth poorest country on earth. And Daniel had an opportunity through some sports stuff to go to Mali, Africa. And he invited these 10 students, and he found schools for them and placed them around the country. Two of them live in Des Moines with us, actually. During the school year, Aruna and Issa lived in our home for most of the school year, and we had a great time with these guys, and they just had a heart for these people. And these kids are loving it here in the United States, and they're getting a high school education, they're getting a college education, they're playing basketball, all 10 of them. The boys are between 6'7" and 7 feet tall. They're just amazing kids, and we just love them. We just love them. And they're living the dream in a lot of ways, you know? And now they're going to be able to return to their country with a college education. And here's the thing about Angela and Daniel. They don't get a penny for this. In fact, all of the expenses of it come out of their resources. But they just give their lives away. And I'm proud of them for the way that they do that. And our other kids, in other ways, showing that. You know, Aruna and Issa lived in our house most of the school year. Issa, his name means Jesus. So Jesus was in the room next to me. I got to live next to the room of Jesus. And that's pretty sweet. You know, I didn't give that much to them, but I got a whole lot in return. My heart is so full. And next week and next Sunday, we're going to have a graduation party for 5 of these kids from high school. And it's going to be a celebration. And we're going to love it. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, we can cheer for that. That's good stuff. Yeah, we're going to have a great time. And old Issa, he's playing at Drake, so we get to see him. The rest of them are playing at various colleges around the country, so we'll get to see Issa, but we're loving it. And, you know, I didn't give that much to them. I did take them through McDonald's drive-thru for breakfast. Every day I took them to school, so anyway. But other than that, I haven't done a whole lot. But, you know, we're rich. We're wealthy because of that. Just so blessed. And then the fourth and last principle is this. Truly rich people are life-giving. They focus on others. Proverbs says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. A generous person prospers. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Again, it's that embracing of a different way of looking at life. When you refresh other people, you actually get the refreshment. This past week or so, we had an incredible moment at our Valley Community Center, which is there as a gift to our community to bless hundreds of thousands of people every year in Des Moines community. 90% of the guests there don't attend Valley Church. We bless that as a gift to our community because of your generosity. Thank you for that, Valley Church. That's amazing. Thank God that he's using that. And a year or so ago, we opened up the Eric's Place, which is our accessible playground. People with disabilities can use that. And I'm telling you, you talk about refreshing to watch kids play there, and they're getting to play on the playground. They couldn't do it anywhere else. And that's just an amazing thing to experience and feel. But we had an unusual one this week. So this boy comes running into the Valley Community Center. He's like 8 or 9 years old. He says, can you unlock the swing for the wheelchair? And we're like, okay, because we keep it locked up because it's not safe if you're not monitored in a wheelchair. So, but we said, we're sure to have it. We walk out there, and he says, because here's why I want to have it. And there is his 80-year-old grandfather in a wheelchair, and he wants to be on the swing. And his 8 or 9-year-old grandson is like, oh, Grandpa, you get to do the swing. And he goes on the swing, and they just had a blast together. I never saw that one coming. I got to be honest, I never saw that one coming, but it got me. I'm refreshed. You know who was the most refreshed? It wasn't the grandfather. It wasn't the little boy. It wasn't me. I mentioned this and told this story to some folks who were part of that Celebrate the Child. Remember year end, we generously gave, and they generously gave, and they knew that their gifts were going to help with that place we call Eric's Place. And their hearts were refreshed. I told them they got tears in their eyes because they see that when you're generous, it comes back to you. You get the blessing. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what I'm talking about. So what are we saying? To be life-giving, to focus on others means what? To be generous, to forgive freely, to give people the benefit of the doubt. Don't harp on their faults. Give them a break. Let it go. Compliment them. Encourage them. Bless them. Give freely to others. Be generous with your time, your stuff, your money, and your resources. Live big, and you'll die rich. Today, appropriately, is our is Child Sponsorship Day with Compassion International. And Valley Church, you guys are amazing. Already, Valley Church people sponsor in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, over 400 children. You're blessing the lives of 400 plus kids. But today is an opportunity. We have 221 kids that are available for sponsorship, are registered, and we wanna help them. So years ago when we first started doing this, we actually began in India before India actually closed down these child sponsorship due to their government hostility to Christians. But now we're doing it in Honduras. But when we first started, it was there in India. And I came across this card, and our family did. And we said, this is a young girl that we want to sponsor. This was 2012, Jagruti Makwana. She was 14 years old. And we sponsored her. It was $38 a month. What good will that do? Well, she gets school supplies. She's able to go to school. She gets health care. She gets food supplements. She gets the attention and needs that she have met that she wouldn't have for $38 a month. And because I go to India almost every year, I actually got to meet Jagruti and many of the other kids that Valley Church people sponsored. And I met her, and here's in 2013, our daughter Maria got to meet, she was on the trip, and she met a Jagruti, and we got to know, and she had her best clothing on. I've been in her home. She lives in a very poor home. It's a two-room house. It's made of cinder blocks. The back room is the bedroom for everyone, and the front room is the kitchen, and the dining room, and the family room, and everything else, and there's a little toilet off to the side. Very poor people. And we get to pour into her life. Anyway, here's Jagruti today. She's all grown up. She's 21 years old. She actually aged out of the program, but we felt so connected to her, we said we gotta keep helping her. So we did a little, you know. She's going to nursing college now. And I'm very proud, like a proud father, to say that she, last I heard, was fourth in her class. It's a poor girl from the slums. And she's now going to have she's going to be able to be a nurse, and it's going to bless her and her whole family. Last time I was there, Jagruti, she came up to me and she said, I want to tell you something, and I apologize because my English is not very good. And I said, you're... English is about 100,000 times better than my Hindi or Gujarati. So we'll give you a break for in your third language, you're not quite as good. But she says, let's talk through an interpreter. So they brought a translator and interpreter there, and she tells me this. She says, Uncle Quentin, I want to thank you and your family for what you've done for me. Next to my mother and my father, you are the most important person in my life. What? She said, without you and your family, I could do nothing. I would be nothing. And I'm thinking to myself, I can be the most important person next to their parents in someone's life for $38 a month? Wow. That small little sacrifice means so much to somebody else. And we're so grateful. Well, she's going to graduate soon, and that's amazing. And so a while back, we said, let's sponsor another child from Tegucigalpa, Honduras. So we got another card, and here she is. Here's her picture. Her name is Ariana Isabella Garcia Bustillo. And I think I butchered every one of her names. But I saw this young girl, we said, we've got to sponsor her. And we go to Honduras every year as a church, so I'm going to have the opportunity, and many others will have the opportunity to visit their sponsored children on these trips. And there she is. Why did I sponsor her? Well, there's a lot of children. For me, the reason was, it said she had been waiting 548 days. And I said, it's not going to be 549. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for a great day. Thank you for just a neat time. I pray that you would flood our hearts with your goodness and the spiritual riches in Christ, and that we would recognize how much we really have been blessed with. And Lord, on this Mother's Day weekend, I just pray, Lord, that you'd especially bless our moms here and everywhere, to let them know that you love them. They are loved. And all God's people agree and said, amen. Amen.